Chapter 7. A loud, metallic screech filled the air. Sabrina was jolted forward, but managed to grab the center pole as she soared past. Still, the forward momentum of the car nearly pulled Sabrina's arms out of their sockets. Just then, the darkness of the tunnels turned to light. Sabrina knew they had just entered South Ferry Station. She saw three yahoos with thick arms and legs tumble off the front of the train. They fell in horrible bone-crunching fashion. But as black smoke began to fill the car, Sabrina wondered if the yahoos were the lucky ones. She could see flames and sparks outside as the car came to a hard, jerky stop. She heard feet racing up and down the car, and then the doors opened. "Everyone off!" one of the dwarfs shouted. Sabrina couldn't be sure which one it was through the smoke. "This thing is going to go up in flames!" Mr. Two and Mr. Five helped Sabrina to her feet and hurried her onto the station platform, where everyone else was gathered. Puck's cocoon floated out of the car behind Sabrina. Moth grabbed the cocoon's string and whirled around to confront the group. "You lost, Cobweb, you fools!" she cried.
"Shut your trap, Princess," Mr. Three said. "You're not so big that I can't put you over my knee."
Sabrina had no time for their stupid argument. She hugged her sister. "Are you okay?" She didn't wait for an answer. Instead, she started examining the little girl's arms and legs for broken bones or cuts.
"I'm fine," Daphne said, irritated.
She struggled out of Sabrina's embrace.
"Good,"
Sabrina said, as she pretended not to be hurt. She looked around at the others. "We're all safe now. Everything is going to be okay. We're out of danger." It seemed as if one of them was always getting hurt on these detective missions. It was amazing to see her friends and family unscathed.
"Dwarfs go too far,"
a voice shouted. Sabrina turned. One of the yahoos, who only moments ago had been crumpled on the floor, was now back on his feet. His friends had joined him.
"You don't want any of this, monkey boy," Mr. Six said. "We might be small, but we'll lay the smack down on all of you."
The yahoos had a high-pitched, sadistic laugh, just like the hyenas Sabrina had once seen on a Discovery Channel documentary.
"We take tunnels. Tunnels ours," they cried.
Mr. One stepped forward. Much to Sabrina's amazement, he moved into a fighting stance, identical to one she had often seen Daphne take. It was an attack position that Snow White had taught the little girl in her Bad Apples self-defense class. The little man gestured to the yahoos.
"Come get some."
Then he and the five other dwarfs bowed to their opponents, as if they were in a martial arts movie. Daphne ran to join them before Sabrina could stop her.
"Present your warrior faces," Mr. One shouted.
The six dwarfs and Daphne crinkled up their faces, roared like lions, and launched into an attack. The yahoos were twice as big, and Sabrina guessed 10 times as strong. But the dwarfs were fast and nimble. They leaped and flipped like kung fu masters, avoiding blows and delivering painful kicks to their opponents' faces. Daphne was in the midst of the fight, punching and kicking, though far less gracefully than the little men. Sabrina had to stop her. This was why Daphne had to quit the family business. Someone always got hurt, and Sabrina wasn't going to let it be her sister. But before she could act, she felt a tap on her shoulder. Sabrina spun around and found Cobweb hovering over her.
"Was anyone injured?" he asked.
"It's over," Sabrina stammered, preparing to defend herself. "Mustard Seed has promised you a fair trial. Turn yourself in."
"I did not kill Oberon," Cobweb said.
"Stop lying. Oberon said you did it. If you don't come with us now, we're going to catch you and your Scarlet Hand buddies, too."
"My what?"
"Don't play dumb with me. We know you're involved with them. You left their mark on Oberon's body."
"Child, I have no idea what you are talking about," Cobweb said. "I am not in any group, and I didn't kill Oberon."
Moth spotted the dark fairy.
"Murderer!" she cried.
She reached into her pocket and took out a small flute, similar to the one Sabrina had seen Puck use many times. It summoned a tiny flying army of pixies he called his minions. Moth blew a few light notes and then shoved it back into her pocket. Suddenly, a wave of little lights hit Cobweb in the chest. They surrounded him and collectively slammed him into a nearby wall. Sabrina could hear the wind fly out of his lungs. Granny grabbed the fairy girl by the arm and shook her.
"What are you doing, Moth?" the old woman cried. "Make them stop!"
Moth refused and pulled away. But Cobweb fought off the little army and ran up the station stairs with the pixies in pursuit. Moth screamed and raced after them.
"We have to stop her," Granny said to the group.
"Wait, Daphne!"
Sabrina cried. She'd lost track of her sister in the confusion. She spotted her celebrating with the dwarfs. Together, they had successfully beaten the Yahoos back into the tunnels. Sabrina raced over to her sister, clamped her hand around Daphne's arm, and dragged her up the station steps, with Granny and their friends following behind. Daphne shouted, "Hey, let go of me!" But Sabrina ignored her. So the little girl gave up and waved goodbye to the dwarfs instead, who were still celebrating their victory over the Yahoos.
"Bye!"
"Thanks!" Daphne called.
"I'll tell Mr. Seven you said hello."
"Tell him I want my $20, Mr. Two cried.
"Good luck, daughters of Veronica," the little men shouted.
When the girls reached the surface, Cobweb was gone. Moth paced nearby, screaming in rage.
"We've lost him again."
"I don't know who you're screaming at,"
Mr. Hampstead said angrily.
"That psychotic little display of yours was why he escaped."
"You blame me?" Moth shouted. "How dare you talk to me in such a manner?"
"Child," Mr. Canis roared, "you have tested my patience long enough today."
He leaped forward, talons already drawn, as if prepared to rip the fairy to shreds.
"Wolf,"
Hampstead shouted, stepping in between Moth and the old man,
"back away."
Canis eyed Hampstead for several moments.
"I can see you in there, mongrel,"
Hampstead said.
"You come out, and you'll get more of what the three little pigs gave you before."
Something inside of Canis seethed, but it did what it was told. Most of the old man's wolf-like features shrank away. Hampstead turned and addressed everyone.
"We need to regroup here, folks. We're trying to catch Cobweb, not kill him."
He looked at Moth.
"And we shouldn't be fighting among ourselves. If anyone can't work as a team, she should go back to the hotel. 'Cause, to be honest, you're in the way. But if you want to catch our suspect, and he is only a suspect right now, then let's start working together."
Bess gave Hampstead an admiring look and a squeeze on the arm. Moth, however, gave the portly ex-policeman an angry scowl and muttered something offensive under her breath.
"Look, he left footprints in the snow," Daphne said,
finally pulling free of her sister.
"Daphne Grimm, well done,"
Mr. Hampstead said.
"If we follow these prints, they'll lead us right to him."
Everyone nodded, even Moth, and they set out to follow the tracks. As they walked, Sabrina tried to engage her sister.
"That was stupid of you to get into that fight," she said.
"You're stupid," Daphne said.
"You could have been hurt. Why would you take such a risk?"
"I'm going to have to take bigger risks now that I'm on my own," Daphne replied.
Sabrina stopped in her tracks and watched as her sister hurried to catch up with Mr. Canis, who was leading their group. Granny joined Sabrina and gave her a sad smile.
"This is her choice, Liebling."
"So I should just let her get killed?" Granny shook her head.
"As long as I'm around, I won't let that happen."
The prince led into Battery Park. In warmer weather, the park would be filled with tourists waiting for the boats to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. Now it was almost empty. The Staten Island Ferry, a commuter boat that took people to the city's remote island borough, docked nearby as well. and it was into the ferry terminal that Cobweb's tracks led. Sabrina helped her grandmother up the snow-covered ramp to the waiting room inside. There, the group drew many stares from the terminal staff. Sabrina realized that most were gazing at Mr. Canis, all 7 feet of him.
"Look! There's Cobweb!" Moth shouted.
Sabrina turned in the direction the fairy girl pointed, only to see a boat pulling away from the dock. Cobweb sat on the railing looking back at them. His face was grim and cold.
"I'll get him," Moth said, as her fairy wings popped out of her back.
Granny snatched her arm and held the girl back.
"We'll wait for the next boat."
Moth reluctantly retracted her wings.
"By the time we get to Staten Island, Cobweb will be long gone," Daphne said.
"You have bigger problems than that,"
a rough voice said from behind them. Sabrina turned around and saw a half dozen men with skin the color of copper and jet black hair coming toward them. Their leader had dark eyes, as fierce as any she had ever seen. He spoke again.
"You know as well as I do that fairies are not welcome on docks controlled by Sinbad the Sailor."
Sabrina instinctively stepped between her sister and the stranger. She'd read the Arabian Nights recently, researching genies that might help her rescue her parents. The story of Sinbad was fresh in her memory. He'd gone on 7 voyages, and each trip had nearly killed him. Though he had seen some fairly amazing things, including ogres, genies, and fish disguised as massive islands, he'd killed hordes of monsters, too. She didn't remember him as a villain, but she'd learned the hard way that sometimes the good guys switched sides.
"Is that so?" Moth said angrily to Sinbad. "Well, what are you going to do about it?"
The sailor's men pulled nasty-looking daggers out of their coats.
"No fairies on the ferry," Sinbad said. "Oberon may have been able to force us to pay his lousy taxes, but he's dead. I'm not about to let some other fairy come in and take our hard-earned money."
"We're not fairies," Daphne said. "We're detectives, and we're trying to find the person who killed Oberon."
Sinbad cocked an eyebrow.
"Praise be. Can it be you? Can it be that I am in the presence of Veronica Grimm's children?"
Daphne nodded, and the men put their daggers away.
"I am honored to meet you," Sinbad said. "It was a dark day in my heart when your mother vanished. What brings you here?"
"The fairy who killed King Oberon is on the boat that just left,"
Granny Relda said. Sinbad looked at his men, and then looked back at the group.
"I may be of some assistance," he said,
and led everyone to the next docking station. He took out a key, unlocked a huge door, and slid it open. Behind it was a 2nd ferry boat.
"You've got your own boat?" Hampstead asked. "I am the harbor master for the Staten Island Ferry," Sinbad said proudly.
He helped them on board, then led them up a flight of steps to the bridge. He started the boat's engine as his men untied its mooring lines from the dock. When the boat was free, the men shouted up to their captain, and he pulled down a lever, easing the ferry away from the dock with expert care. In no time, they were cruising away from Manhattan in pursuit of Cobweb.
"Chasing a murder. Is this not dangerous work for young girls?" Sinbad asked.
"We're Grimms. This is what we do," Daphne said.
Sinbad laughed.
"Your mother used to say the same thing whenever I had to help her out of one of her many close calls. Not that I minded. I have to admit I myself was much smitten with her."
"You had a crush on our mother?" Daphne asked.
"I'd hardly call it a crush. I was head over heels, to be honest. Veronica was quite a woman, and I've known a great many in my day. She was brilliant and strong, if a bit stubborn."
"Sounds like someone I know,"
Granny said, flashing Sabrina a smile.
"I asked her to run away with me nearly 1,000 times, but she always rebuffed me. She said she had eyes for only one man. I suppose it was your father she spoke of. The fates were smiling on him the day he met her."
Sabrina was livid. Hearing him talk about her mother this way was infuriating. Sinbad noticed and smiled.
Little one, allow a man to dream. Your mother never took my advances seriously. Most of the time, she was too busy with her big plan to fix our community to even notice I was flirting. One of Sinbad's crew raced to the bridge. He looked nervous and sweaty.
My lord, we have a big problem.
What is it?
Pirates.
Again? Sinbad scowled. It is the third time this week.
Pirates? What pirates?
Sabrina cried. But Sinbad rushed out onto the deck with his man. The Grimms and their friends dashed after him and found the entire crew standing on one side of the boat, peering at something through binoculars. Sabrina snatched a pair of binoculars from the nearest sailor and scanned the horizon. Sailing near the Statue of Liberty was a boat with a black flag waving in the wind. The flag had a skull and crossbones on it.
You've got to be kidding me,
Sabrina said, handing the binoculars to her grandmother. Just then, an enormous explosion could be heard coming from the pirate boat. A moment later, something big crashed into the water not far from the ferry.
They dare fire on me, Sinbad, master of the sea? Turn this ship toward them and see how brave they are with our cutlasses at their throats,
the captain cried. His men cheered and several raced to the helm. The ferry made an abrupt turn and headed straight for the approaching pirates.
Turn this ship around, Mr. Canis cried. We're after a killer. We have no interest in your petty turf war.
You have nothing to fear, my large friend, praise be. I am Sinbad, and I have faced these foul vermin before. Of course, maybe we should arm you. Men, hand out some steel.
The men shoved large swords into everyone's hands.
What are we supposed to do with these?
Sabrina asked, alarmed.
They're quite useful for killing pirates, Sinbad said, as he hurried back to the bridge.
I don't think I'm allowed to kill pirates, Daphne called after him.
She looked up at Granny Relda.
Am I?
The old woman shook her head, collected the children's swords, and handed them to one of Sinbad's men. Another of the crew rushed toward them with life jackets.
What do we need these for?
Hampstead asked, as there was another loud splash off the side of the boat.
In case we have to jump, the man replied.
Why would we have to jump?
If the boat were about to blow up,
the sailor said, as if he were talking about something as ordinary as gardening or making toast. Hampstead cringed and turned to Sabrina.
Pigs don't swim,
he whispered nervously. There was an enormous crash, and the cabin wall they were standing next to exploded, sending wood and glass everywhere. Sabrina tumbled to the floor.
We've taken a hit, Sinbad shouted. It's time to show those devils what kind of men we are. Let's do this old school, shall we?
The crew roared in approval. One of Sinbad's men rushed to a panel on the wall. Inside was a red button, which he pounded hard with his fist. He turned to the passengers with a wide smile. There was an odd mechanical grinding, and then the sound of rockets firing. Suddenly, the top of the ferry flew off and crashed into the water. A hole opened up in the deck, and a long wooden pole soared skyward. Farther down the deck, an identical pole was rising, and when both had extended as far as they could, huge rolls of fabric unfurled from the top. The fabric squares had ropes attached to their corners. It quickly dawned on Sabrina that they were sails, and the crew went about tying them into position. The cold winter wind heaved against the boat, and Sabrina felt it pick up speed. Sinbad's voice rose above the noise, saying,
"Stand clear for artillery upload!"
Suddenly, more slots opened along both sides of the boat, and out poked heavy black cannons, each with a pyramid of cannonballs stacked next to it. Several of the men rolled huge wooden kegs into place next to the cannons. The kegs had the words gunpowder and danger printed on the side.
We have to get off this thing, Sabrina cried.
She grabbed her sister and grandmother and raced to the edge of the boat, looking back to make sure Puck's cocoon and the rest of her group were safely behind her. Then she turned and peered into the black water below and realized how very cold it would be. The freezing temperature would mean almost certain death. They were trapped on board, and worse, The crew of the ferry seemed to be loving the situation. When a cannonball landed just short of the boat and splashed into the water, they booed, as if they were disappointed in their attacker's aim.
"Ladies, would you like to set off the return volley?"
Sinbad asked, suddenly appearing before them, sword gleaming at his side. He was holding a flaming torch, which he offered to them. Sabrina looked at the weird smile on the man's face. He was enjoying this nightmare. He might have been good to her mother, but it seemed he couldn't care less if Veronica's family were blown to bits. Sabrina thought about how she so often found herself in these situations, the kind where people got hurt, and she wasn't going to take it anymore. Without even thinking it through, she lunged forward, snatched the sword from Sinbad's belt, and leveled it at his head. "Take us back to the dock," she said calmly.
"You look so much like your mother right now," Sinbad said, shifting his eyes back and forth from her face to the sword pointed at his throat.
"I've had enough of this craziness. Turn the boat around and take us back to the dock. You're not going to get us killed, especially before I get to retire," she said.
"Child, we are in the middle of a fight. If we turn this boat, the pirates will fire on our port side and we'll surely go down," Sinbad explained.
"Sabrina, give him back the sword," Granny Relda demanded.
"No, this is exactly what I'm talking about when I say I don't want to be a Grimm. Look at these maniacs. They're having fun. And you know why? Because they can't die unless someone tries really hard to kill them. This is just a stupid game to them. Well, I can die, Granny, and so can you and Daphne. So Sinbad here is going to turn this boat around right now."
Daphne rushed to Sabrina's side and snatched the sword away.
"You're being a jerkazoid," she shouted. "I'm trying to protect us. I'm trying to save us all," Sabrina cried.
"So is he," Daphne said, pointing at Sinbad. "Those pirates fired on us first."
She handed Sinbad back his weapon.
"You're a spirited girl," Sinbad said to Sabrina, "if a bit odd-smelling."
Before Sabrina could argue with her sister, she heard a hollow horn blast and watched as the men adjusted the sail riggings and tied them down tight. The sails trapped the wind, and again the ferry raced across the water. Sabrina could hardly believe the power of the blustery winter air. The boat was cutting through the waves as if propelled by rockets. Sinbad took out his binoculars again and peered through the lenses.
"We're close enough to see the faces of the mongrels now."
He handed the binoculars to Hampstead, who took a peek as well.
"Those aren't pirates," Hampstead said. "They're wearing suits and ties."
Sabrina snatched the binoculars out of his hand and saw that Hampstead was right. The approaching boat wasn't a pirate ship at all, but a yacht. Its passengers were wearing black tuxedos and seemed to be sipping cocktails between cannon shots.
"Is this a joke?" Sabrina said, yanking on Sinbad's sleeve.
"What do you mean?" the roguish sailor said.
"Those aren't pirates. They look like they work on Wall Street."
"What's the difference?" Bess asked.
Just then, the bridge above exploded. A cannonball had smacked into it, sending wood and glass in all directions. The two men steering the boat had jumped to safety at the last second. Sinbad shouted to his men,
"They're coming alongside. Let's show them what we're all about, praise be."
The men cheered, and when the pirate boat was close enough, Sinbad leapt onto it and started fighting a man wearing a three-piece suit who was brandishing a nasty-looking dagger. The two fought fiercely, their blades slashing through the air. Several of the pirates, who were also very well dressed, mimicked Sinbad's bravery and jumped from the yacht onto the ferry boat. Sinbad's crew charged them, and a savage battle began. In no time, the family found themselves in the midst of clanging blades and shooting sparks. Mr. Canis snatched up Sabrina and Daphne and led Granny and Moth through the melee, doing his best to avoid getting slashed himself. Puck's cocoon floated close behind, missing several near punctures. Hampstead and Bess followed, and together they all raced down a flight of steps that led into the boat's hull. Unfortunately, they were followed by an ugly brute with a wicked scar running from the tip of his right eye to the edge of his lip. He was dressed as well as the other pirates, but his clothing didn't lend him any charm. He roared at the family, and Canis roared back. The pirates stood there for a moment, apparently trying to understand who or what Canis was, and then ran back up the steps.
"The rest of you stay down here and hide. I should go and see if I can be of some help," Mr. Canis said.
"Me too," Hampstead added.
"Ernest, be careful," Bess said, squeezing his pink hand.
In a flash, the two men were back up the steps and gone from view.
"You heard him, girls," Relda said. "Keep safe and keep moving."
They ran through the boat, looking for a safe nook to scurry into, but the boat was completely overrun by pirates. A wave of them stampeded down the steps and cornered the women.
"Hostages!" one of them exclaimed as he licked his blade.
The rest laughed.
"Take him to Silver!"
the first man shouted, and the pirates rushed at the women. Daphne kicked one in the shin, and he fell to the floor in pain. Granny smacked another with her heavy handbag and split his lip open. Bess and Moth threw punches. Sabrina, on the other hand, was quickly grabbed around the neck, but she instinctively jammed her elbow into her attacker's belly. The rogue bent over as the wind flew out of him, and he dropped his sword. Daphne snatched it off the floor and smacked him in the behind with the flat of the blade. It didn't do any permanent damage, but from the groan the pirate uttered, it had obviously stung. Moth took a life preserver off the wall and brought it crashing down on the man's head. He fell to the floor unconscious. Much to Sabrina's surprise, the pirates broke off their assault and backed away before rushing up the steps and disappearing.
"We make a pretty good team, don't we, ladies?"
Bess crowed. But they had only a minute to celebrate. The pirates returned with reinforcements. They managed to grab Sabrina, Daphne, and Moth, hauling the girls up onto the deck, and then hoisting them over the side of the ship, where each landed unceremoniously on the deck of the yacht. Puck's cocoon, never far from Sabrina, floated after them. Seconds later, all of the pirates were off the ferry and back on their own boat, which zipped across the river, leaving Sinbad, his crew, Granny Relda, Mr. Canis, Mr. Hampstead, and Bess far behind.
"The harbor belongs to Silver!"
one of the pirates bellowed toward the ferry, causing all the rogues to cheer and raise their swords in the air. Many of them broke into song and danced little jigs. The girls didn't get to see much of this gloating. They were dragged roughly down a flight of steps toward the belly of the yacht.
"Get your hands off me, filth!" Moth demanded. "I am a princess of the royal court."
"Listen, fairy," one of the pirates said in a thick English accent. "Get yourself through that door."
"And if I don't," she said.
"Then you're going to miss the party,"
the other pirate said. He opened the door, and Sabrina gawked at what she saw inside. There were dozens of well-dressed men and women on a small dance floor in the center of the room. A disc jockey was spinning records, and a glittery disco ball was flashing light around the room. Several of the dancers were gathered around a limbo pole near a banner that read, "Happy Holidays to Everyone at Silver and Hawkins."
"What is this?" Sabrina asked.
"It's our firm's Christmas party," the pirate replied.
"What?"
the girls said in unison. A tall, gray-haired man hobbled over to them. He had a parrot on his shoulder and walked with a cane. He set down his drink and extended his hand to the captives, but none of them took it.
"So good of you to join us. I'm John Silver," he said.
Sabrina and the others said nothing.
"As in Long John Silver?"
he continued. Still, the girls were silent.
"As in Treasure Island, documented by Robert Louis Stevenson?"
Silver said proudly.
"You're the bad guy, then?" Daphne asked. "I've seen the movie about you. You're not very nice."
"Everyone has seen that lousy movie. Doesn't anyone read anymore?"
the pirate asked with a scowl. "The book really captures more of my complexities." The pirates roared with laughter.
"Aren't you supposed to have a peg leg?" the little girl asked.
Silver lifted his pant cuff to reveal a prosthetic leg.
"This one here is the latest model,"
You'll regret this, pirate, Moth seethed. The crowd booed.
Pirate is such an ugly word, Silver explained. Pirates are criminals. This is the 21st century. We've traded in doubloons and treasure for stocks and bonds.
The parrot squawked.
Buy low, sell high.
Then why did you attack us? Sabrina asked.
Money, little lady, money. Controlling the ports is a lucrative business, especially now that Oberon isn't around to stop us. The king extorted a lot of money from us. Now we've got an opportunity to get it back.
So you shot cannons at the Staten Island ferry over turf? Aren't you worried that someone is going to notice?
Sabrina said.
Kid, they may call New York the city that never sleeps, but they should call it the city that never notices. We could sail up the East River and attack the mayor's mansion, and I doubt it would even make the papers.
Well then, we don't want to get in the way of your little party. Why don't you drop us off at the dock, and we'll let you get back to your fun, Sabrina said.
The crowd erupted into laughter.
I'm afraid that's not possible, Silver said. You see, you're not exactly guests. You're hostages.
What does hostages mean? Daphne asked. It means we're prisoners he's going to use to bargain with, Sabrina said.
We're selling you to the highest bidder. The children of Veronica Grimm have to be worth something, not to mention a princess of the royal court to sweeten the pot. Friends, we're going to get one enormous holiday bonus!
Everyone cheered. Now, rules of the sea are we treat our prisoners with civility. So, help yourselves to the buffet. The DJ will be playing for another half hour, and then we're going to do some karaoke. Relax, try to have some fun, but don't even think about singing Love Shack. That's my song.
Silver, Moth cried. When Titania finds out that you not only prevented the capture of a known murderer, but also violently kidnapped me, you'll wish you were dead. You will never get away with this.
I never get tired of hearing people say that to me, the pirate said, joining the others in a raucous laugh.
Moth snarled and then spit in the pirate's face. Silver calmly reached into his pocket and pulled out a handkerchief. He cleaned the spittle from his cheek, put his handkerchief back, then took a long, curved knife from the cheese table and aimed the point at Moth's throat.
You have a nasty mouth, Silver said. Though I suppose I could fix that by cutting your tongue out.
The crowd roared its approval. Suddenly there was a bright flicker at one of the port windows. Sabrina looked out, but didn't see anything. Maybe all the stress was getting to her.
Leave her alone, Daphne pleaded. She won't be any more trouble.
Shut your yap, child, Silver shouted, as he dropped his cane and grabbed Daphne by the throat. I'd hate to lose you too, but I'm sure one grim girl would be just as valuable as two.
Take your hands off her, Sabrina cried, as she rushed at the rogue.
He swung his knife away from Moth and toward her throat, stopping within the tiniest fraction of an inch of her skin.
Keep it up, girlie, and you'll be able to breathe out of your neck, he said.
Just then, the door into the hull flew off its hinges. A dark figure stepped down into the room. It was Cobweb.
Run, girls, he shouted,
then opened his mouth and shot a stream of fire at the pirates. They fled in every direction, giving Sabrina enough time to snatch her sister and Moth and rush them back up the steps onto the deck of the yacht. She peeked back and found Puck's cocoon following closely behind.
Did he just save us? Daphne said.
Sabrina shrugged.
Let's worry about getting off this boat.
He might come back up here and change his mind. The girls searched the ship, but there was no lifeboat to be found. And worse, the pirates were already charging up onto the deck. Long John Silver hobbled up from below, followed by a dozen angry men with daggers. Two of them were dragging Cobweb along.
You know, there's one thing I've learned during my time on Wall Street. You have to weigh the value of investments,
Silver bellowed as he came toward the girls, who were now trapped against the ship's railing.
Take you Grimms, for instance. The both of you could be worth your weight in gold, but then again, it might be just as valuable to me to watch you and your fairy friends walk the plank.
Dump the stock now,
the pirate's parrot shrieked from his shoulder.
Sell! Sell! Sell!
One of Silver's men rushed up from below with a long piece of wood and set it on the edge of the yacht. Once it was secure, Silver pulled the cheese knife out of his belt and forced Sabrina to climb up on the plank.
Don't hurt my sister! Daphne yelled.
She tried to grab at Sabrina's shirt to pull her back on deck, but one of the pirates yanked the little girl away.
Let them go, Silver,
Cobweb demanded. A pirate punched him in the belly to quiet him.
Wait your turn, the man croaked.
Sabrina walked to the edge of the plank and looked down at the icy water. This is the second time I've been on one of these things, she remembered. Puck had forced her to walk a plank above their neighbor's pool the first time they met. He had used his pixies to get her up on the board.
Pixies.
Excuse me, Sabrina said. Don't I get a last request? Silver smiled.
Indeed. Name it.
I'd like my good friend Moth to play us a song on her flute. Something happy before we die.
You are as dumb as a cow, Moth cried. You get one last wish, and this is it?
Sabrina looked at Daphne. Yes, a song like the one Puck used to play for us. One so sad, it stings. Daphne's eyes grew wide with understanding.
Yes, Moth, play a song on your flute.
Cobweb cocked his eyebrows, showing Sabrina that he understood what she wanted.
Princess,
might I suggest a particular song? I've always loved Flight of the Pixies. Moth took her wooden flute out of the folds of her dress. Sabrina wasn't sure the little fairy understood what they wanted her to do, but she lifted the instrument to her mouth and blew a few short notes. When she was done, nothing happened.
Wasn't there a second verse?
Sabrina said. Maybe they were too far from shore for the pixies to hear them.
No, there isn't a second verse, Moth snapped.
Then play it again,
Sabrina cried. Moth lifted the flute again and blew the same notes.
All right, that's enough, Silver said.
But wait, you filthy crab. What about your last request? Moth asked.
Why would I need a last request? Silver said.
Because you're about to be attacked, the little fairy girl replied.
A split second later, the entire yacht was enveloped in an enormous swarm of dancing lights. They swirled around the pirates, who swatted at them with little effect. The pixies were everywhere, and they were stinging with all their might. Silver swung his dagger wildly as little dots of blood appeared on his face. The pirates raced into the belly of the boat, hoping to escape the swarm and letting go of Cobweb in an effort to protect themselves. When he realized his men were gone, Silver hobbled quickly after them. The wave of pixies became one giant mass that hovered next to Moth, awaiting her orders. The little princess stepped over to Cobweb, who had fallen on the deck and was trying to catch his breath.
And now I will deal with you, Moth said.
I'm innocent, Cobweb begged. I would never hurt Oberon. I supported his efforts to rebuild Faerie. He trusted me with the taxes. We were going to build a hospital and a school for our children. I believed Faerie could be rebuilt. Why would I kill the only man who could accomplish all of it?
What are you talking about? Sabrina cried.
I was Oberon's counsel. The money we got from the citizens we were using to make everyone's lives better. We were preparing to announce the opening of a shelter for homeless ever-afters. They were Oberon's ideas, and I was working to make them reality.
Sabrina was stunned. She had despised Oberon from the moment she met him, even secretly felt that his death was justified, especially after hearing about his goons extorting money from the citizens and bullying everyone into obedience. But now, Cobweb was telling her that the king was a good man, or at least was trying to be. It didn't make sense that Cobweb would kill a person he respected so much. Sabrina turned to her sister, who was just as amazed, and then to Moth. The little fairy was not moved by the story. In fact, she had murder in her eyes. "Take him!" Moth shouted, and the pixies swarmed around the dark fairy. Cobweb staggered to his feet, and his wings popped out of his back. Seconds later, he was aloft. He was faster than the swarm and was out of their reach in seconds.
"Use the cannon!" Moth instructed,
and the swarm returned to hover around the big gun, using their collective mass to load a ball inside and then fill it with gunpowder.
"Moth, don't!" Daphne cried. "This isn't how we do things."
The fairy girl ignored her and stepped over to the cannon. She opened her mouth, and a stream of fire shot out, igniting the cannon's wick. There was an earth-shaking roar, and the deck buckled beneath them. Sabrina managed to right herself long enough to watch the black missile speed into the air and slam into Cobweb's back. The fairy fell from the sky and plunged into the waters.
"No!"
Sabrina cried. She found a life preserver and tossed it overboard, knowing it was pointless. Even an ever after couldn't survive that kind of injury. In the distant waters, Sabrina spotted a flashing blue light heading in their direction.
"This is the Coast Guard," a booming voice called out. "Lower your weapons and prepare to be boarded."
Moth turned to the girls.
"Your job was to find Oberon's killer. He is dead. You are no longer needed. Find your grandmother and your friends and go back to the mudhole you call home."
She gestured for the pixies to swarm around Puck's cocoon. They latched onto it as Moth's wings sprang forth and she lifted into the air. She flew off, carefully guarding the cocoon as it fought and resisted being taken from Sabrina.